Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 13, we have these words: "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This evening we come to the last petition in the Lord's Prayer. You may notice that the ESV version from which we have been reading finishes the prayer at this point. But you would perhaps be more familiar with the Lord's Prayer finishing, "Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." The reason why some versions finish here is because when the Bible was being copied, the original manuscripts, they were copied and copied and copied, and some of the manuscripts in the end had this extra addition of "Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory," whereas others didn't. And so when we come to our translations and the versions that we have now, you'll find that some versions have the prayer ending, "Deliver us from evil," whereas others will include, "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory." But I think nearly all versions, if they don't have that additional ending, will have it down in the footnote. So probably somewhere at the bottom of your Bible, there will be a footnote with that additional ending. I was going to finish my series here on "Deliver Us from Evil," but I will preach next week on the last part. Whether it was in the original manuscripts or not, it certainly is biblical. And I'll talk more about that next week. But we come now to the sixth and the last petition, the last thing we ask for: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." As we've been considering this prayer, I said that my desire was that this prayer would deepen our own prayer life. That as we consider the Lord's Prayer, that it would shape how we pray at home and together. But also, as we've looked at each of the sections in the Lord's Prayer and have seen something of the depth and the richness of it, I hope we've also seen that it's not just here to teach us how to pray, but it's also here that we might pattern our lives on it. We are to live lives that hallow God's name. We are to live lives that anticipate the coming of His kingdom. We are to be content with what God has given to us. As we thought about this morning, we are to be people who are forgiving. So it's a prayer not just to pattern our own praying on and to enrich our prayer lives, but it's a prayer that should shape how we live for Jesus Christ, how we live and how we pray should be the same. A pattern for prayer and a pattern for life. We live to serve and glorify God. We take comfort in His will, His rule, a life of contentment and trust, a life of forgiveness, and a life that seeks to walk in His ways. So when we come to this petition, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," I want us to see it's not just something to pray, but this is something to be lived out in our day-to-day lives. Let's look at this petition this evening. And firstly, we're considering the attacks of the evil one. The attacks of the evil one. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Is this a prayer that God will not tempt us? Are we praying that God will withhold His temptations of our soul? Well, no. We know it is not God who tempts us. James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each of you is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings death. Now God may, for a time, permit people to go on in their sin. But it isn't God who leads them into sin. God doesn't dangle sin in front of us to see what we're going to do with it. That goes completely against the perfections of God. No, our sin and our desire to do the wrong thing, it comes from our own sinful nature. The Bible makes it clear that it's Satan is the one who tempts us. He is the one who dangles sin in front of our eyes. He is the one who makes it look attractive. He tells us lies to make us believe that this sin is a good thing, or it will bring us pleasure or contentment or satisfaction. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray to God, protect us from the temptations of Satan. Deliver us from the attacks of the evil one. We need to be protected from the assaults that Satan levels against us. We need to realize that there is an enemy who seeks to tear us down. That he goes around like a prowling lion, waiting to devour us. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. Of course, we can't just blame Satan for every sin we fall into. And we can't blame him for every temptation we succumb to. No, we also have our own hearts. Because it's our sinful desires that are being played on. Each of us is tempted when we are lured and enticed by our own sinful desires. And when that meets the tempting of Satan, that's when we are in real danger. And so we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Be aware of the attacks of the evil one. Listen to this summary of Thomas Watson's teaching on Satan's attacks. This is my own summary. Four things to consider as we think about the attacks of the evil one. Consider firstly this, his malice in tempting. Satan envies our happiness and satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Thomas Watson says, to see a clod of dust so near to God makes him pursue mankind with hatred. Satan knows from where he fell. He knows to where we are going. He knows the joy, contentment that we have in Jesus Christ. And he hates it. And he hates you because of it. There is real malice and hatred in the evil one. Consider that. Consider, secondly, Satan's diligence in tempting. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says he prowls around. He would have us idle when he himself is busy. Think of a lion always continually hunting that prey when he's prowling. If Satan gets the least advantage by temptation, he will pursue us to the very end. Satan pursues us to tempt us. He doesn't take time off from tempting. That diligence is also seen in the variety of temptations that we face. He doesn't just confine himself to one type of temptation for us. You know that yourselves. The temptations that come along, they are varied. And they attack your very person. This is the diligence of the evil one. And if one temptation doesn't work, he will use another. There's malice in his tempting. There's diligence in his tempting. The third thing to consider is Satan's power in tempting. Satan's power in tempting. The Bible calls him the prince of this world. In Luke chapter 11, verse 21, Jesus uses a picture language to describe him and describes him as the strong man. Now, Satan does have power. And he has ability to attack us and to tempt us. Here is one who works in the spiritual realm, and he rages in the spiritual realm. There's going to be good news later on about Satan's power and ability. But remember that he does have a certain amount of power and ability. The attacks are real. The enemy is real. There's hatred, there's diligence, there's power. And then Thomas Watson says, consider fourthly, Satan's subtlety in tempting. Satan's subtlety in tempting. He is the great deceiver. He's the father of lies. Thomas Watson gives 27 subtleties that Satan uses. I won't give you the full list of 27. If ever you have the opportunity to get Thomas Watson's commentary on the Lord's Prayer, get it and read it. Very readable for a Puritan. Sometimes they use big words, words that we just don't understand. But Thomas Watson is very readable, really, really worthwhile. 27 different tactics Thomas Watson highlights. If ever you have read C.S. Lewis, The Screwtape Letters, another good read, a worthwhile read, that correspondence between a senior devil and a junior devil. And it's an insight into the subtleties of Satan and how he loves to come and attack us. Here are some of the subtleties noted by Thomas Watson. Satan observes our natural temper and constitution. He doesn't know our hearts, but he can observe our temperament. And so he will tempt us accordingly. If you're somebody who is always proactive, always busy, can't stand laziness, he won't tempt you with laziness. He won't waste his time doing that because that's not who you are. If you're somebody who gets hot-headed and angry and quick-tempered, he will tempt you with that. So he uses things that fall into our temperament. He can't see our heart, but he observes our temperament. Watson says this, as a cunning angler casts in his angle when the fish will bite, so the devil can hit the very joint of time when temptation is likeliest to prevail. There's a cunning, and he will use our temperament and our constitution to catch us. Satan, when he tempts us to sin, also does so gradually. Here's another subtlety within the devil's temptations. He tempts us first to lesser sins so that he might bring on greater sins. It's a cunning ploy. I can't speak for those who've committed murder. But I'm sure they didn't wake up one morning and think to themselves, I know today I'm going to go and murder. More than likely, that started out in the heart. Anger towards someone. Desire to get revenge. A willingness to hurt. And it builds and builds and builds. Satan, when he tempts us, will do so with things that perhaps seem meaningless. Not as important. It's just a little sin. We can excuse it, but the temptations build and build. He plays on our desires. He lies and tells us that this sin will be good for you. This sin doesn't really matter. This sin will actually satisfy you. Do you realize that by doing this thing or saying this thing, it'll be good? Say that word to that person. Shoot them down. They deserve it. And it will make you look better. And it will put them in their place. Oh, it will be the right thing to do. Satan twists and lies and makes the sins look pleasing. Isn't that what he did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? Look at that, friend. God knows you'll be like him. It'll be good to take it. Won't do you any harm. Satan plays to our desires. He's subtle in his tempting. This is his tactic. Four considerations as we think about the attacks of the evil one. Think about his attacks. He comes at us with malice, with hatred. He's diligent. He's active. He has power. And he uses these subtle tactics. No wonder then Christ calls on us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Friends, we are to be awake. We are to be watchful. We are to be sober-minded. Be aware of the attacks of the evil one. The evil one who puts a myriad of temptations before us. And know that our sinful desires will crave them and go after them. And so we need to pray. We need to include this in our pattern of praying. Make it a priority. Every day, Father, lead me not into temptation. Lord, deliver me from evil. The attack, the evil one. But then secondly, the action of the believer. The action of the believer. We are to pray. Make this a pattern in your prayers. But also, just as we pray, we are also to act. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. This means that we are not to then run headlong into the place of temptation. We are to avoid temptations as far as possible. Just as we have prayed this, so we are then to live it out. I want to give some practical steps, practical advice as to how we can act, how we can live out the prayer that we are making to our Father in heaven. Firstly, watch and pray. Be alert. Be on your guard. That's what we are told to do in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be watchful. This is the very first step. As we put Jesus' pattern for prayer into practice, we will be reminding ourselves of the attacks that we could face as believers. So watch and pray. Be aware of your weaknesses. Be aware of the places where you fall into temptation. Be aware of the sins that you're inclined to. As we make this petition a pattern in our prayers, be mindful of your life, of your walk. Pray specifically as you do that. Pray that God will not lead you into those areas of temptation, that he will deliver you from those specific areas where the evil one attacks you. Watch and pray. The second practical step that we can take is avoid the places or the times where you are tempted. If your strongest temptation is to get angry at the foolish people around you, and there might be many of them, then take steps not to spend time with those foolish people, or to remind yourself that outside of God's grace, you too are foolish. If you're prone to get angry when you haven't had a lot of sleep, and you're woken up early, and you then become angry with family members, then my advice is try to either get more sleep or subtly try to avoid those that you might get angry with. It's a practical step. But that's what Scripture actually tells us to do. Consider your ways. Don't put yourself in the places where we are being tempted. Or maybe your temptation is to look at things that you shouldn't be looking at. If that's your temptation when you're alone with your computer or late at night flicking through TV channels and you're prone to watch those things that you shouldn't watch because you know it's sinful, then don't put yourself in those positions. Avoid that place and time. Try to have your computer perhaps in a public or a more public place at home, a place where there's other people. I know of some families that will have their family computer in the living room. And it means that if somebody's working at it, other people are there, they're not going to be tempted to then look at things that they shouldn't look at. Or if your temptation is to flick through the TV channel, just very simply, if there's nothing specific that you want to watch, turn it off. Avoid the places. If your strongest temptation is to gossip, avoid the places where you gossip. Don't listen to gossip. Think of these things. Watch and pray, and then try as far as possible. It's not always possible, but as far as possible to avoid those places, those times, those people. Third practical step is accountability. Accountability. Have a trusted, mature Christian friend to check up on you, to ask you how you're doing, to ask you how have you spent your time this week, to ask you, how have your devotions been going this week? What about the struggle with that sin? One or two close, mature Christian friends that you can be accountable to and share with them. You don't even have to be specific at times. You can even say to someone, there is a sin that I'm struggling with. I don't want to share it with you. But I want you to pray for me, and I want you to ask me each week how it's going. That's as much as you have to say. And that Christian friend can pray for you, and they can ask you each week how it's going. Have accountability. If we're praying that God will not lead us into temptation and deliver us from evil, then we have to be also practically minded and take steps and be active. Have accountability. The fourth practical step is to flee. Perhaps at times it's not possible to remove or to avoid a situation, but it is possible when the situation arrives to leave. I know that's possible. Because God tells us in His Word that He provides a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. He provides the way of escape. Now that might mean at some stage we're going to have to be like Joseph. When Potiphar's wife approached him, Joseph knew this is wrong. Joseph ran away. He left his cloak. He fled. It could be that that is the action that we have to take when temptation comes. Be ready to run away from temptation. Run away from sin. As we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We must also actively work that prayer out in practice. Be ready to take action. The attacks of the evil one are all too real. And so we are to be watchful. We're to pray, and we are to take action. But then thirdly and lastly, we have also here the authority of Jesus Christ. The authority of Jesus Christ. This all perhaps sounds very difficult. The Christian life is, we're in a spiritual battle. The enemy is strong and cunning. But here we pray. We pray to the one who is more able. And we ask him to lead us not into temptation and to deliver us from evil. And we can pray with confidence. And we can do so because of Jesus Christ and his authority. Not only has he given us this prayer, but Jesus Christ himself has lived out this prayer. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And he commands us. He tells us to pray, to ask that we won't be led into temptation, that we will be delivered from evil. And so as we offer up this prayer, we do so not under our own authority, not because we can command God, but because Christ Jesus himself has told us to pray it, and to pray it confidently. Christ has authority and he tells us, pray. Christ has also already defeated the enemy. Yes, Satan is powerful and strong. Yes, he is diligent. But he is the strong man who has been bound. He is a defeated enemy. And Christ Jesus is the one who defeated him. Christ did it not only in the temptations that Christ himself faced, but ultimately there at the cross, Christ crushed the head of the serpent. Christ defeated sin and death. And so as we consider the attacks of the enemy, we know although he's a prowling lion, he is also a limping lion. A lion who can't harm us. A lion who can't do us any eternal damage. Although he fires his fiery darts at us, we have the shield of faith. Christ himself protecting us and keeping us. He has already defeated the enemy. And so we look to Jesus Christ, the one who also underwent temptation for us, the one who endured, the one who never sinned. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It tells us that Christ knows our weaknesses because he himself has been tempted with every sin just as we are. And yet he never sinned. Christ can sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows us and loves us and keeps us. And so we are told we can come with confidence and we can come and find grace to help in time of need because Jesus Christ himself went through temptation. And so we look to Jesus Christ and we also know that his Spirit lives in us. He has given his life that we might have new life. And the Spirit of God indwells us. We have in our lives the authority of Jesus Christ in us. We have the victor, the one who's defeated the enemy, living in us. We have immediate access to his power and his glory. We have God the Son himself protecting us. And so as we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we do so looking to Jesus Christ, knowing that we can say no to this temptation because of Jesus Christ. He's defeated the enemy and he lives in us and he strengthens us and he gives us grace to help us in our time of need. In Jesus Christ, we can walk away. We can't do it in our own strength. All of those bits of advice that I gave earlier, if we tried to do them in our own strength, in our own way, we would fail. But we don't do them in our own strength. We do them in and through Christ and by his authority. And he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Satan is restrained in what he can do. And friends, there will come a day when we won't need to offer up this petition anymore. There will come a day when we will be in glory. No temptation. Those sins that you keep falling into. Those embarrassing, foolish sins. They won't attack. They won't harm. They won't hurt. But for now, as we are in this spiritual battle, let us pray this petition. And let us look to Jesus Christ as we pray this petition. And let us pattern not just our prayers, but our lives on this petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.